there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, getting ready for the Big Dima Show. Next week, actually, the next couple shows are going to be from Las Vegas as we record Scuba Radio from the Dima Show floor. It'll be quite an event. You will not want to miss it because this is literally the largest diving event in the world. And it's always a fun show because not only does it bring out a who's who of the dive industry and give us plenty of people to talk to, it's the place where they debut all the new dive equipment that's going to show up on your local store shelves at your local dive center in your town. So it's great stuff. Looking forward to that. Got a lot of stuff to blow out this week, however, as we gear up for this event and travel out to Las Vegas. Last week, we had Carl Fismer on to tell you about, you know, a new an issue for Floridians that if you want to go and salvage treasure, the right to do that is under attack. And it was an interesting segment we had on the show last week. And this week, we're going to kind of follow up on that because the meeting that they're going to have to discuss that is coming up this week. We have Taffy Fisher, who is the daughter of famous treasure hunter Mel Fisher, and she's on Scuba Radio right now. How you doing, Taffy?
Okay, how are you today?
We're doing all right.
Glad now, to be here. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Now, Taffy, like I said, we talked to Carl Fismer last week, who is a world-renowned treasure hunter. He doesn't have quite the name notoriety that you do. I mean, Mel Fisher, that he's, you know, that's synonymous with treasure hunting. And, I mean, first of all, what's going on with this? I mean, how does this affect you guys down there in the Keys?
Well, Carl Fismer is one of the pioneers who worked right along with my parents in this industry. And this will not only affect the Keys, it'll affect the whole state of Florida. And probably eventually other states will, you know, adopt similar rules. So we thought we'd start here. Right now, the state of Florida is proposing a new rule called 1A31 that is procedures for conducting salvage of historic shipwrecks. And we're asking everyone in the whole United States or any other country who's listening to this program to go onto the internet and to make a statement against this new proposed rule. It's really got a lot of things in it that would make it impossible for anyone to follow their dream and go treasure hunting. And the whole idea of free enterprise and your American constitutional rights are at challenge here.
I can
give you specifics if you like.
Well, yeah, let's get into some of that. I mean, it is something that, you know, every diver, I think, has had this, you know, dream of being on a scuba dive and coming across, you know, one of these Spanish galleons or a piece of silver or some kind of artifact. And, I mean, that's part of the adventure of diving as a whole. I mean, that's what you guys do, obviously, on a more professional level, but what are the specifics? Why are you guys under attack with this rule? What are they trying to do exactly?
Since the Abandoned Shipwreck Act was passed in 1987, it gave the federal government had given the rights to any shipwrecks within state waters to those states, including, you know, whether it's inland waters, lakes, rivers, streams, and ocean or beachfront, gulf front. They gave them the title of the shipwrecks and told them to put together a management system to best preserve them. So what the state did is they set up, you know, because they didn't have anyone telling them what rules to follow, and they were supposed to come up first with a plan, like you would do for any other big thing, like a national sanctuary or a state park. You come up with a management plan, and the management plan would guide you along, you know, getting together with different user groups to make sure that everyone's concerns are met and that you don't put a bunch of mom-and-pop organizations out of business or big businesses out of business. You know, they don't want to put people who are out there mining or laying underground cable or fishermen or just recreational boaters and divers making rules, you know, no-go zones. So at any rate, since 1987, and when they created these new contracts, all of the people who have been interested in treasure hunting along Florida had to go through a double process. First, they got an exploration permit, and then they would do their mag surveys and, you know, electronic surveys to try to find places where you should dig. And then they would be allowed to get a dig and identify, which means they had limited abilities to dig, and if they found anything, they had to show it to the state, and if the state thought it was a shipwreck, they would maybe give them a salvage contract. Well, guess what? No one's gotten a salvage contract in 15 years.
Well, that can't be good.
No. And everything that any of those guys found in the meantime still belongs to the state.
Well, yeah, it sounds kind of like a land grab or property grab. The state wants to keep their hands on any potential treasure found in Florida waters, which I guess you can see some validity to that to a certain extent. But what is it? How is it set up now that the state gets what?
Well, you know, this really isn't going to directly affect any of the Mel Fisher enterprises because we have admiralty claims and settlement agreements with the state of Florida, and they cannot challenge us. So
okay.
As far as the 1715 fleet and the Atocha and the Margarita, which are, you know, world-famous sites where my parents have worked and my whole family has worked, it really won't affect us. But it's going to affect any other treasure hunter, and believe it or not, it's getting to be quite a large industry. With the technology today, there's wrecks in 4,000 feet of water that people are bringing up, as you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where, you know, you are, somebody's trying to make a grab at whatever you've put your time and money into researching and finding. And that just doesn't seem right. One of the rules that the state of Florida is proposing here is that there's the... people will not be able to get a permit to salvage within 500 yards from
the beach.
From the beach.
Yeah, Carl was telling us about that last week. That's where most of the wrecks would be.
Any navigation channel, like the Intercoastal Waterway or inlet, that is kind of ridiculous. That's probably about 80% of the shipwrecks.
Hmm.
When we work, because we do this for a living, and I've also got subcontractors, and sometimes I get new guys, and they're excited. You know, they are teachers, or they have the summer off, or they're, armchair treasure hunters and historians who've done a lot of research and reading and just are so excited about it. And then they come down and they subcontract for me, and they learn the ropes. You know, we teach them all about archaeological guidelines and, you know, how to delicately handle artifacts and how everything gets tagged. And, you know, we have very sophisticated mapping systems on the computers now with, we use satellite, you know, GPS and WAS systems. So we can actually create maps that show you where things were found and where empty holes were dug. And it's a very... to us, it's a scientific process, and it's a living something I've done in my entire life.
Well, that's part of the adventure of it. I mean, everybody wants to find something worth a lot of money or have, you know, some historical value. And that's that's what drives the business. That's what drives technology to find more of this type of stuff.
Well, the technology will definitely suffer because one of the new rules says that you're not allowed to use any technology unless it's proven. And that is something that that every metal detector, sub-bottom profiler, side-scan sonar company that's working on developing new equipment needs to look at. Because, you know, my father would try anything. You know, he tried the guy with the dowsing rods, and he tried the psychic. And every once in a while, you know, somebody comes up with something with some crystals or other types of sonar equipment. If you don't try it, you'll never know if it works.
Well, sure, yeah.
Technology's, you know, making great leaps and bounds. And, you know, satellite imagery and things like that, and enhanced infrared photographs. All that stuff, you know, just because it wasn't there 50 years ago doesn't mean we shouldn't use it today.
Well, of course. And Taffy, what is the other side to this? I mean, why is the state of Florida giving you guys such a hard time? I mean, I know Captain Carl Fismer mentioned this last week that one of his theories was that, you know, we have a generation that grew up on Indiana Jones that brought a lot of, you know, kids into college and into, you know, archaeology, you know, into treasure hunting or archaeology. You know what I'm trying to say here, right?
Like National Treasure and Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
It's very exciting. But, you know, it's not as easy as they make it look in Hollywood.
Not quite as glamorous or adventurous, I'm guessing.
It's not like you just jump overboard and find a big pile of gold.
Yeah.
Although that would be nice. It's not impossible, but usually it's buried under a lot of sand, and it takes a lot of hard work. One of the things, the reasons, you know, the state always says, well, this should be done by professional archaeologists, and that you guys are not professional archaeologists because you don't have this degree, and therefore you should not be doing it. Huh. It's that simple. Well, we do have an archaeologist on staff all the time. And, you know, for an archaeologist that you pay a substantial amount of salary to be on the boat every day while you're out there, you know, pulling a magnetometer, and that's not really his forte, okay? That's someone else's forte.
Right.
Is doing the actual, you know, magging and surveying and things like that. But he looks at the data when it comes in, you know.
Right.
But to pay him to sit on the boat while they're actually physically doing it is ridiculous. Also, you know, for him to be on the boat every time they dig a hole, well, sometimes we'll go months digging empty holes.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of work. Yeah, I can see that. Well, look, the meeting is this Tuesday in St. Augustine. Go to melfisher.com. There's a little icon on there for you to get more information on this issue.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
You mean they were only scuba divers?
Professional sea scavengers. This pony head hid the scuba mask. The fin on the back concealed a scuba tube. The flippers on the feet actually helped them swim faster.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. Yeah, you need to check out that website, melfisher.com. Not only can they take you out to dive the Atocha, believe it or not, where you can actually go hunt for buried treasure. They're still salvaging gold and silver and all kinds of crazy stuff off that wreck. Off the Florida Keys. It's quite an impressive operation. You can get information on that issue about the treasure hunters under attack. It's once again, it's this Tuesday in St. Augustine. They got a little banner there on their website. You can get more information on how to become involved and make your voice heard to the state of Florida if you want to keep the option to be able to go treasure hunting, underwater treasure hunting. Who wouldn't want to do that? I would like to do that. It's on my list of diving things to do. One other thing is the Oriskany off the coast of Pensacola. You know, this is the largest artificial reef created by man, I believe, in the world. And we have Captain
Hold
Dave.
Hold on. I don't want to get too technical on you, but isn't it a sunken ship?
Well, the largest artificial reef created by man in the world, I believe.
It's a sunken ship. It's not really an artificial reef. It's a sunken ship.
Well, yeah, which it makes it an artificial reef if it was intentionally sunk for that purpose.
But if it was intentionally sunk for insurance, it wouldn't count as an artificial reef?
Well, I don't know. Let's find out. We have Captain Dave from Blue Water Adventures in Pensacola on the line. He is an expert on the subject, and he is on Scuba Radio. How you doing, Captain Dave?
Excellent. How are you guys doing?
Now, back me up, Dave. I am correct, correct?
Correct. You are correct.
Thank you. Thank you. Way to suck up. That's all, you know.
It is an artificial reef.
Okay.
It's 218 feet of water. It is 911 feet long. And top of the structure is 84 feet.
84 feet. Now it has sunk a little deeper then, or listed to one side slightly since the last storm came through?
That's correct. Dewstop has actually settled it in place. And if you remember, this is the first large storm that we've had since it's sinking.
Right.
So it's actually settled in place, and it does have a little bit of a list to starboard.
List to starboard. So that has brought it down to 84 feet.
Correct.
How much did it sink? How many feet?
Overall, about 9 feet.
Okay, so it's a little deeper, but still, it's within the realm of recreational diving, at least the top deck of it, right?
Absolutely, and it always has been. And that's what I try to tell everybody who dive it. Nothing has changed. The flight deck has always been beyond recreational dive limits at 136. Now it's at 145 to 150, depending on where you're at. So Okay. Nothing has changed. The island is still an awesome dive.
Okay, so the island starts at 84 feet, though.
Correct.
Okay.
Actually, 76 feet to the top. There's this one pipe with a 90-degree angle on it, and that's 76 feet.
Got it. Now, is the summer months the best time to dive the Oriskany? I haven't done this yet, and I've been wanting to come out there and do this for some time, and I know we're starting to get into the cooler months here. Does that, when the wind and issues like weather become a factor getting out to the Oriskany offshore of Pensacola?
Yes, absolutely. During the winter months, we'll have cold fronts that come through. In fact, we just had one come through here yesterday, and it kicks the seas up a little bit. We went out and dove the Oriskany today, as a matter of fact. Had about a 4 to 6 foot sea, but the visibility was really good, about 80 foot. Summer months are typically the best times to dive it, barring any hurricanes now.
Right.
So naturally, if you get out there and a hurricane kicks up, then everything, you know, the deal's off.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. It'd probably be a little bit more than 4 to 6 footers is what I'm guessing.
Correct. Yeah, like 25 footers.
Yeah, what kind of vessel do you guys take out there from Blue Water Adventures in Pensacola?
I have a 29-foot catamaran. It's got twin Yamaha 225 four-strokes on it, and we make the run in anywhere between an hour and 5 minutes and an hour and 30 minutes, depending on the sea state.
Okay, so that's not a bad run in a boat that fast. It's, 20 miles offshore thereabouts? What is it?
It's 23.1 nautical miles or 26.5 statute miles from the pass.
Got it. So you take how many divers out with your operation?
I do six. We're very close-knit. We do a full-service boat, and we swap your tanks out for you. We'll even put your fins on for you.
Really? Okay,
yes,
that sounds like the kind of pampered diving that I enjoy most there, Captain Dave.
Come on down, and we'll hook you up.
All right. Well, you know, it's definitely been on my list. I wanted to get the update on what had happened. I'd heard it had sank a little bit deeper, but it sounds like it's still very diveable and quite an amazing dive from what I've heard from people that have done it, you included, I'm guessing, right?
Yes, it is awesome. Awesome dive.
All right, cool. It's Blue Water Adventures in Pensacola. Check out Captain Dave. You can go dive the Oriskany, and, you know, it's on my list, and sounds like it's still a very good dive waiting for all of us. More coming up. Stay close.
Joke around a lot here at Scuba Radio. However, we take quality seriously, especially when it comes to the Scuba Radio shirts and hats we offer for sale at scubaradio.com or as giveaways during the show. Look, we wear this stuff too. And no, you deserve better than a t-shirt that's going to be stretched out or faded after one wash, even if it is free. So we went with Designated Diver Sportswear. Designated Diver simply has the finest selection of dive wear on the planet. Look for the Designated Diver brand and find dive retailers around the world. And check out their new designs for 2007, including the new C-Bone Bones Pirate Line at designateddiver.com. Use promo code Scuba Radio to receive 10% off your order through December 31st. Plus, all orders over $25 will receive a free Designated Diver Dive Flag Auto Tag while supplies last. Stop by the Designated Diver Outlet Store on your next dive trip in Florida and enjoy even more great savings. Located in St. Augustine, just 10 minutes off I-95. Call 888-433-4837 or visit designateddiver.com. Quality clothing designed specifically with scuba divers in mind.
That's Designated Diver Sportswear.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. You're risking. That's definitely on my list. Isn't it? You know, shipwrecks are awesome. You got to love them. And, you know, it is the largest, so you definitely would want to do that, I would think. Sounds like you just got to hit the weather right, but sounds like the Riskany would be quite a dive indeed. Hey, coming up a little bit later on in the show, we're going to check in with our folks that are planning a very cool event right after the DEMA show in North Carolina. It entails the John Norwood Memorial Fund, and it involves John Chatterton, one of the shadow divers. You're going to hear all about it here in hour two of the big show. Also, we got a new Dan tip today for you about knowing your dive site, how important such a thing is. You know, orientation, that is the key. If you go to a place, like if you're going to dive the Oriskany for the first time, you wouldn't go out there on a private boat not knowing what you're getting yourself into. You go out with someone like Captain Dave. What's that, Bill?
I said that's for darn tootin'.
I'm sure
not going out by myself, and I'm not going out with just you either.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for that vote of confidence. But, yeah, I mean, that is one of the basic rules of diving. You need to know where you're going. And if you're not familiar with the dive site, get an orientation from someone who knows the area well. So we're going to talk about that in the Dan tip today on the big show. And if that weren't enough, the Nogi Awards, which are part of the DEMA show next week in Las Vegas.
Is that something you win if you rescue the princess?
A Nogi?
A Nogi,
you get a
Nogi Award?
Yeah. No, it sounds. You know what? I forget what it stands for, but it's obviously an acronym: Nogi, N-O-G-I,
National Organization of Gay
GUI
Instructors.
Maybe.
No, okay.
No,
just
no,
guessing.
No, you don't want to say that. That's not appropriate.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I meant happy.
Just knock it off.
I meant happy.
Yeah. But anyway, the Nogi Awards. It's kind of like a, you know, a diving Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
Type
All
of
right,
award.
I gotcha.
And Weiland and our buddy Bob Evans from Force Fins will be there.
Probably should have known what it was about before I made the joke.
Yeah, probably. It's quite a muckety muck event there at the DEMA show, and I'm gonna go hang out with my friends and have a drink or two and support the event. And one of the companies called Ball Watch, we're gonna have him on the air today, is supporting the event.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Hi, it's Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live, and you're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun, though, isn't it?
Here's my close personal friend and mentor and the guy that I just owe just about everything I have to. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Greg the Dive Master Holt.
Boy, you might be legally retarded.
What are they laughing at, exactly? CJ is in the studio, one of my dive students. He knows Daryl. Knows we're close personal friends at one time.
You guys used to work together back in the day.
Back in the day, and now he you know, he doesn't really acknowledge me. No,
it sounded like he did.
No, he did.
But who knows? You could have slipped him a 20 right before that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. And I'm not one to reveal my secrets.
That's nice.
But yeah, a big Saturday Night Live show tonight. You hear about this? Sarah Palin and...
They've been having shows during prime time. I'm flipping around. I see them.
Yeah, it's not even Saturday. Yeah.
How can it be Weekend Update on a Tuesday? Wouldn't it be Tuesday Update?
That's a sign of the apocalypse right there, I think.
Well, as if we need more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good point. But anyway, look, like I said, we got a lot of cool stuff coming up on the show. We're getting geared up for the DEMA show next week in Las Vegas. We're going to record two shows from the exhibit show floor. You know, CJ, he was lucky enough to stop by the DEMA show last year. Or was it the year before? I forget.
Both.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
they were both in Orlando. So.
It's quite an event, isn't it?
It's huge.
And, you know, the thing about doing the show from DEMA is that it's a trade-only event. You can't get in to the DEMA show unless you belong to the dive industry. So,
okay, then how'd CJ get in?
We paid off the doorman.
I was going to say, because his only affiliation with the dive industry is this show.
I'm assuming
you know somebody else, Greg.
No, that's all you need. You just need to know Greg.
Well, we paid off the doorman, or I should say we didn't pay him. It involved services, but we won't go into that.
Here's your nogi.
that was a totally different thing.
It's impressive because there's lots of escalators and glass.
It is. I never looked at it that way, but that is what really sets it apart from all over the dive events.
It's like a giant mall.
It is, of dive stuff,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. It's a shame it's not open to the public,
yeah.
But because it is an impressive display of dive-related stuff, and it's the largest diving event in the world, literally, and everybody converges on Las Vegas next week to, exchange ideas and debut new dive equipment. And I've already got wind of a few things that are hitting the market that are going to make their, you know, official announcement at the DEMA show. And, of course, that's what we'll be covering. What was that? Hello. Wait. That
catching wind.
Oh, boy. That's not catching wind.
That's
maybe
breaking.
Yes. Hello. And, it's going to be a fun thing.
So, Greg, are you a big gambler? Are you going to hit the crap table?
Heck, yeah. How do you think I'm paying for this puppy? That's what gets me through year after year on Scuba Radio is heading out to Vegas and betting on red.
Hit me, baby. Hit me. Hit me.
No, it's always fun when it's in Vegas. You know, it's bouncing back between Orlando and Las Vegas now. And, you know, we're based in Orlando, Florida, so it's kind of nice when it's here in our backyard. But when it's in Vegas, look out, baby.
Speaking of bouncing, will there be showgirls involved? Or are you going to... get some showgirls and some mermaid tails, maybe?
We are. Let's not give away all our secrets here, CJ.
I'm just asking.
Well, you know, anything can happen in Vegas.
Rhinestone tails.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Everybody gets a nogi.
Yeah. But, you know, look, it's...
Prize every time.
It is not open to the public, but Scuba Radio will be there in full effect, covering the event like nobody else. And make sure you listen for your little backstage pass to this trade-only event next week.
Scuba Radio.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving. Whoa. Amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Caverns, blue holes, walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right already, what is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas. Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. CoralCavernsResort.com.
Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear.com.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 333. Mermaids won't dust.
Uh-oh.
Do your own laundry or mop your floors, get it?
I made a clean spot here. Now I've done it.
Mermaids?
Guess I'll have to do the whole thing.
Who writes this crap? So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio is Jeff Myers, the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. What do we need to know today, Jeff?
Your dive site.
I don't have a dive site.
You do when you're diving, and you need to know it well.
Okay, I'll bite. How do I get to know the dive site?
Well, the introduction begins before you ever get near the water. When preparing to visit a dive site, the first thing you should do is familiarize yourself with its location.
Wouldn't that be a given? Otherwise, how do I get there?
I don't mean the city and state. I mean where the dive site is located and what factors might need to be taken into consideration. For example, if the dive site is in the ocean, how far from shore is it?
Oh, I get it. Okay. If it's land-based, how will you access it?
Exactly. Is it remote, or will supplies and resources be available if you need them?
I imagine the answers to these questions help you know what to bring with you.
Sure they do. If you know there's no place to stock up on water, for instance, you know to bring plenty of your own. Likewise, if you know you're going to be heading 20 miles out to sea, you'll know to have whatever you'll need with you, as it won't be a quick ride back to the dock.
You know, I remember from another safety tip that you want to check out what emergency equipment and resources are on site, too.
Wow, you just made my day.
Thank you.
Seriously, I got a little tear in my eye. But you're absolutely right. Part of knowing your dive site is knowing what you'll need to do in the event of an emergency. And that includes knowing what emergency resources are at hand, where the nearest medical facility is located, and what, if any, emergency procedures may be in place. Of course, if you're going to a location that has no formal dive operation in place, you'll need to cover all that yourself.
What about the dive itself?
Before you ever enter the water, you should have at least some idea of what to expect. You should know the approximate water temperature, the basics of the site topography, and hazards you might need to avoid, as well as any information available on currents, weather, and any other appropriate factors.
What about marine life?
Absolutely, you should be aware of what marine life may be on site. Critters are not only part of the excitement of diving, but should an unexpected encounter occur, you can be sure to have the appropriate first aid equipment with you.
So how do you go about researching a dive site?
Well, it's never been easier. We're living in the information age, and never has so much information been so readily available about, well, pretty much anything you need. In terms of researching a dive site, the internet is good. Books, magazines, dive centers, other divers. The list goes on and on when it comes to information sources.
What about Dan?
Certainly, Dan can be a resource. If you need to know anything about emergency resources or medical care in the area, give us a call.
So it sounds like the whole point of this is the more familiar you are with a dive site before you get in the water, the less likely you are to run into trouble.
You've got it exactly right. There's no such thing as a foolproof plan, but it's well known that proper preparation and planning significantly reduce your chances of something going wrong. So by taking some time to learn about the site you'll be diving, you're taking action to increase your dive safety.
Knowledge is power, right?
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Exploring new places is one of the best parts of diving. But part of being a good explorer is learning what's already known about a given location. So before you head to your dive site, take some time to learn what you're diving into. Knowing what you're doing ahead of time can increase the fun and your safety. Do that and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
And, you know, next week we are going to be hanging out with Jeff Myers from Divers Alert Network, as well as the entire Divers Alert Network gang. Big announcement we will make live on Scuba Radio next week from DEMA. That involves Dan, and, well, I that's all I'm going to say.
I just got my magazine this week.
You did?
Yep.
Which one? The one with the nudie girls in it?
No.
Which one are you talking about?
Alert Diver.
Oh,
thank
Alert
you.
Alert Diver.
That magazine.
At least someone in here knows what's going on.
Okay.
You mentioned Dan.
Yes.
I mentioned magazine.
Mm-hmm.
How big a leap is that?
Well, with
he's
you.
Got some, he's got some magazines which had a guy named Dan naked in it.
Hey, hey, hey.
Stop it. He was confused.
Stop it.
Everybody gets a nogi.
You know, Bill's a little punchy because he's planning to head out to the Boston Red Sox game.
Yeah, he's
tonight,
going over to Tropicana Field, that mm-hmm. ugly, stinky garage, to watch the awesome world champion Boston Red Sox kick the crap out of the Rays today.
Hmm. So who are you rooting for?
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
You can. Was it that obvious?
No, it wasn't. I would never bet on it. But anyway, CJ, obviously, in the studio, one of my dive students, and we just found out during the break, by the way, while the Dan tip was playing, that CJ was the one who was pranking us last week on the jellyfish goo, glowing jellyfish goo.
Hold on. I did my research here. I called in to that number you gave me to get a hold of a research scientist.
That was my cell phone.
Yeah, well... Uh-huh. Where did we get that number from? Who did the research on that? Was that Jimmy the Helper Boy?
Actually, I thought you gave me that number.
Well, I got it obviously from Jimmy, who had obviously set us up, and then we were trying to do a thoughtful report on this fact that the scientist got a
Nobel Prize
for
medicine.
For jellyfish glowing in your body or goo or something. I don't know.
That's it exactly. You have summed it up in.
And we thought we had one of the scientists on the phone, and ended up was CJ in Home Depot.
Glowing goo has comedy bit written all over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was.
But
fun.
That was pretty good. I fell for it for about half a second.
Greg, the
I was like, who the heck is this? And then CJ goes, yeah, that was me.
It was funny because I was at Home Depot doing that voice, which you have to do loud.
Like this mad scientist
That's right,
voice.
Greg. Hook me up with Kenny Couric.
So you're at Home
him.
Depot?
And I was scaring the crap out of it. I was trying to walk down aisles that were unoccupied.
Yeah.
And people were just, I almost got thrown out.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were in Home Depot.
I was almost
arrested
for this show. That's the lengths I will go to.
Well, that would have
been
at
least... You wouldn't even be the fifth person to get arrested for this show.
Not even close, huh?
You'd be the third guy.
Caught.
Yes. Actually arrested.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it was good stuff.
Was
I guess it was funny.
Behind the scenes at Scuba Radio.
Yeah. So, yeah. But you kind of, I mean, you know.
Now no one's going to take any of your phone calls seriously.
Well, you know, I mean, you had me going there for a second. Next thing you're going to tell me there's no Santa Claus now that I think there's no, you know, mad scientist guy.
I have it on very good authority that the Scuba Radio drunken Santa is very real.
Really? Well,
yeah.
I've seen him passed out in the gutter there at the bottom of the studio.
Nothing imaginary smells that bad.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to leave it at that. It's about time for him to make another appearance, actually, as we get closer
to
the holidays.
He needs to get paid.
Holidays.
I think he needs to get paid.
Oh, we pay him? We pay him with booze.
That's right. Holiday booze.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swath-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way, you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
It's a crab island.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. That's Eric Stone, who will be performing at the Demo Show with goats. That is the rumor. But I think that's just a rumor. I don't think there's any truth to that, actually.
It's bad.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, anything can happen in Vegas. And I think the truth of the matter is that he will be performing some of the scuba tunes for the dive industry, which are available, by the way, at scubaradio.com on the merchandise page.
He may even be performing some of his new tracks, which he just recorded for his newest album.
There you go. So it's going to be quite an event. He'll be providing the musical entertainment as we entertain the crowd to as they gather to open the Dima show.
So what will you be doing? What kind of entertainment will you be providing?
Giving away stuff. You know, it's kind of like hush money. We throw out a few Scuba Radio shirts.
Actually,
and hats.
I don't want to give away too many surprises, but Greg has been practicing juggling kitties.
Thank you. I'm getting pretty good at it, too. Nice. I've only had to, we've had to put like three to sleep so far, but that's all.
And by that, you rub them until they go to sleep. We haven't actually euthanized them.
No, we've euthanized them, actually. We did. We choked them. No, I'm joking. Golly, CJ.
PETA on line one, PETA on line four.
Okay.
And someone with a PETA sandwich on line two.
But, we are getting ready for the Vegas show next week. I'm actually on a quest not to juggle kitties, but to find a new place to go. We were scheduled
because
to
hardly
go.
Ever get to travel.
Well, I get told where to go all the time.
Well, this is true. Been told where to go, but where you can actually go depends on your travel arrangements. And we've had a little change in our plans for our trip to Australia right after the Dima show. So I have to literally go to the Dima show next week and talk with some folks about changing these arrangements.
Was that a typo? Are you now going to Austria?
anything's possible at this point. I mean, literally, we could be changing our track to go from Australia, instead go to Fiji or even Tahiti, or just hang out on the left coast for a few days, a week or two. We got a few options available to us.
How about diving Lake Mead?
Diving Lake Mead is definitely a possibility. But that's something we could do next week. We don't need to do that after Demon. We do that, you know, in between juggling kitties. So, yeah.
Isn't that where they make paper?
Lake Mead? Maybe. It makes sense. It would make sense, wouldn't it? Well, hour two is on deck, and we promise we'll cover some dive information, and maybe we'll juggle a kitty or two. Anything's possible. You know how to wail here. That's why it's hot. I'm not the one. Yeah, we love you. Yeah, we love you.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.